Well, it's a fabulous Friday. It just got even better. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malun is in the studio, ready to take your calls, your SMSs. So you need to SMS your birth date through to 34519 and to let us know you're a male or female. And we've got lots of SMSs to get through. If you really, really want Bev to look at your birth date today, then call us 0861 24 24 36. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Nikki.
How are you, darling?
Very good, thank you.
So that's more plum than purple.
The shirt.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, we always discuss clothes and fashion for the first few minutes. Just right. Bear with us.
I have to just
this is
get
what
it on
we
it.
Do.
This is plum, is it?
So Bev has walked in
it's
wearing
plum with cat fur.
And she looks very good. You know, sometimes, you know, we all wear different colours,
yeah.
But sometimes someone wears a colour and it just goes patwang. That's what plum's done.
Is that
you've
what
patwanged,
it does on me?
You've patwanged this morning.
Oh my goodness. Maybe it's because it mixes with my hair. My mother said the best thing to me ever a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She said to me, you know, you really have such a lovely hair color. I said, thank you. It's replenished every 5 weeks. And at the time it was rather plumish.
No, that's your color. All right. So, Bev, let's not waste any time. We
no,
have so much.
Not.
Are you well, just by the way? I mean, we need to know.
I am good. Oh. I certainly hope so.
All right.
Yes.
I'm delighted.
We're having
you
an oracle
good.
Moment.
No, not at all. You look
yes,
good.
I found you a crystal ball.
Did
I meant
you?
To bring it today. Absolutely.
Where?
I found it.
Did it have my name written on it somewhere?
No, but it has stuff going on in it and I can't see anything.
Okay.
I
well,
thought,
just
no,
bring it.
Never mind, crystal ball. I will take you to the oracle.
Bring it to me, baby.
I'll bring it to you.
Now, I'm confused. This date, 1977.06.01. So, do you know if it's the 6th of the 1st or the 1st of the 6th? You're the numbers
lady. No, you're
lady.
The oracle, so I wouldn't know.
How does it work when someone gives a date like
1977-06-01?
Yeah.
In South African terms, I'd imagine that would be 1972. No, actually, I have no idea. Ask them to
okay.
resend it.
Please resend it. Whoever sent it to 1977-06-01, does that mean it's the 1st of June or the 6th of January, 1977? We don't want Bev to spend time looking at the
profiling
wrong numbers.
Profiling your cousin.
Exactly. So please re-SMS us. And as soon as your SMS comes through, we'll take it. I promise you. 34519. So let's look at Jeffrey, the 1st of the 5th, 1956.
Okay, let's look at Jeffrey. So Jeffrey has a lot of ambitions. Don't know if he's met them because his work is very much in self-discipline and self-management and keeping his act together, so mm-hmm. to speak, right? So I have a similar issue. So lots of people do. Lots of people who are very good at many things have difficulty channeling their energy into just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, says mm-hmm. she, who's passionate about this, writing a book, wanting to do another workshop.
Climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
If my knees ever come right and running an optometry
of
practice,
course.
You know, exactly. So it's like, juggle, 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 mm-hmm. and look, nothing's dropping.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting challenge for people, and I always say that. You know, just some people say, oh, I'm not good at many things. I'm only good at this one thing. Count your lucky stars. Kiss the ground you walk on. It is so much easier to be just brilliant or just good and hone your skills and refine them at one thing than it is to be good at almost anything you do. It's not a gift. Don't be confused by that. It's a challenge.
Mm.
I always say to everyone on radio, wherever, if you're naturally bent in one area, if you're naturally good in one area without too much effort, you have to know that the opposite of that, the reflection of that is your work. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
It is 100% your work. So for this person who is naturally good at very many things very quickly, the work is to find one or two things and channel that energy into it and focus and be disciplined and have boundaries and have a structure and have a way in which you want to work that strength. Do you understand
mm-hmm.
that? So that's definitely for Jeffrey. There's no question something that he would have had to manage. And his temperament would need managing. And the way he's outspoken would need managing. Because he's naturally good at communicating, naturally good at speaking his thoughts, very strong-minded, very forensic. He can quickly identify what the issues are, what the problems are, how they should be, right? So what is the natural order of work? not just speaking about what you think, but speaking about what you feel. Not reacting, but responding.
Mm.
Going into a place of communication with dignity instead of communication with reactive violence. So there's many ways we can communicate in the world, but generally when we're hurt, the hardest thing to do is to maintain the dignity of the moment, or the moment that was before the hurt, and or get to a moment of dignity if none surrounds you, and behave with dignity. You cannot outrun unresolved emotion or hurt or sadness or disappointment. We've covered this, right? We'll keep covering it. It's so important. But one of the things that happens is that when we communicate and we don't do it with dignity, we create a new level of unresolved emotion. There's no question. If you do something and it's wrong, and instead of pointing out that I would have preferred you did it differently and it was disappointing for me, I challenge you on why you did that wrong thing. I can tell you your natural response is going to be defense. Now we have a whole new plethora of opportunity to resolve things. For what? It creates wedges between people in relationships, and it doesn't matter the nature of that relationship. It can be friendship, colleague, partnership, parent, child. It doesn't matter. If we do not communicate with dignity, no matter how frustrated or how much we want to just scream or break something, if we do not communicate with dignity, we sever relationships that we have to then go and try and repair. There's no question. There's no way around it. So now for Jeffrey,
he's going to be a tweet. You, if you cannot, what did you say? If you cannot,
I don't know. You know me. It's gone. Ask Mr. T.
Communicate.
Were you listening?
You sever. Okay, we'll get.
Okay,
it'll come.
Here we are. It's coming again. I'm getting another download here.
Yes.
If you cannot communicate, with dignity, you sever relationships that you now have to go and repair.
Okay, love it.
I think that was it, hey?
Yes.
If anyone else remembers it better, please feel free to mail in. Okay, so for Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I know how clever you are, and I know how strong-minded you are, and I know how good you are at many things, and I know how much you want to succeed and how much you have a rightness about how things should be. He likes his space in a certain way. Don't mess with his space. There's so much about Jeffrey that is inflexible. So guess what? He needs to work on flexibility, right? It's not actually all that complicated. So when you can understand what you are naturally so firm with, and believe me, in his business, that inflexibility would be essential, because he has the kind of mindset and determination for success that he would push through, make it work, push through. Because he's also, you know, on the relationship side, the natural side of him is that he is generous, affectionate, caring. He's all of those things. This is not a horrible, but this is a lovely person. But some of the personal challenges are in self-management, self-discipline, how he eats, how he works out his body, how he works out his mind, how he channels the energies that come through him. So we all have it every day. So this isn't just Jeffrey. I mean, I think we've covered that. I'm speaking to everybody. You know, it's just we all have this every day. We have channels of energy pouring through us, and some of them support us in our day, and some of them are literally corrupt. And you have to find a way to release that energy so that you don't behave in a way that is corrupt and severs your great relationship with yourself. Believe me when I tell you, if you are nasty to somebody, whether you're in a relationship with them or not is irrelevant. When you are nasty to someone, the underlying feeling is not a success story. You don't feel like a real success. Somewhere in there, there's a like, oh, again. Oh, I did it again. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, again. Somewhere underneath that, that's what's going on. So guess what's happening? Whether that other person will ever see you again or not, where's the severing happening between me and me? I'm severing my love of me. I'm severing my like of me. I'm severing my respect of me. I don't like the way I just behaved. Because ultimately we want to feel good. We want to feel full. We want to communicate and engage with other people in a way that creates fullness for me and contributes to their fullness. I'm not responsible for your fullness. If you're not full and you can't make yourself full, you either need to get medical assistance to help you do that, which is gratefully, freely available pretty much in the 21st century. It is one of the greatest things that ever happened. very severely depressed people used to be locked up in institutions. That's it. Nothing we can do. You can't function in society. Off you go. Today we have the most unbelievable support for people who have liver problems, for people who have kidney problems, for people who have mental functioning problems. And they should all be seen in the same light. Mm-hmm. There should be no attached to anything that happens above the neck. But, you know, we have all these insecurities. Why? Because people who had mental problems before and needed support were deemed mad and put in institutions and put away. But people who had kidney problems weren't deemed mad and put in institutions. So it's okay to have a kidney problem and be on dialysis and have treatment. And no one will question and no one will say anything in shame and they feel for you and are you on a donor list. But if somebody has a mental challenge and they need medical support for that, stay away. There's a stigma attached. Don't say it. I don't want anyone to know. It's nonsense. This is the 21st century, and I, in my practice in 22 years, I can tell you, have more and more and more frequently seen when I ask the question, and are you on any medication you take daily? Almost every person is on some kind of support. Massive percentage. And I'm so, and they're almost embarrassed when they tell me, is that relevant to the eyes? It can be, because many of them cause accommodative problems and etc., but it does. It doesn't matter. That's fantastic. How's it working for you? That's always my question. That's great. Is it working for you? Who's managing it? The only thing I'm ever worried about is that they got it from a pharmacist.
Yeah, I like what you said. Who's managing it?
Who's managing it? We need a responsible practitioner to manage it, but that it's there is fantastic. So, Jeffrey, this is not my hidden message to you saying you need medication. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is that people need to learn to manage themselves. And if you can do it on your own and you can channel the energies you deal with in a day in a way that's positive and serving of you and not severing of relationships, both with yourself and others, fantastic. But if you cannot do it without a assistance, how grateful to live in the 21st century should we be that we can get the assistance that supports us in being able to channel those energies in a way that supports us securing relationships and not severing them.
Well, I think that it was possibly Jeffrey's wife, or maybe not, his wife has responded and said, unbelievable, you're better than a crystal ball. Thank you. A blessed Shabbos to you all.
Amen.
So,
thank you.
You know, it's
better than a crystal ball. That might make me better than you, Nikki. I'm not sure.
I don't know. We're going to have
to talk. I doubt it, though.
Well, if we arm wrestle off air.
No.
You think the arm wrestle will work it out? You know, I just think that we sometimes, and we've said it before, we know that things are there. And sometimes when someone can just perhaps light a candle or shine a light, and that insight, once the insight is there, there's a shift. Do you know? And that's incredibly powerful. It's those little shifts that and perhaps that's what Jeffrey's wife is talking
about. Okay, so for Jeffrey's wife, I want to add this. The reason to profile somebody you care about is to understand them better and increase your compassion for them.
Mm.
Not to be able to say, you see, I knew he was temperamental. That's why he's always having outbursts. No. Realize how hard it is to manage a mind that works as quickly as Jeffrey's. It's like idea, like moving it. And he's looking around at people like, why can't you fix that? Why can't you do that, do this? It's hard to manage that. That's why his work is self-management. That's why his work is self-discipline. So it's not easy for him either. It's like trying to manage a football team of ideas, people, and energies inside his own head. And he likes structure, but he likes movement. Then he wants to do things and he can't sit still. You know, that's not simple to manage. So if there's any reason to profile anyone you care about, it is to understand them better and increase your level of compassion for them so you can secure your relationship, cement it, seal it, make it better.
Lovely.
Not sever it.
So well put. Thanks,
not for righteousness. It's not to be able to go, I knew it. I knew I was better than him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Let's take a break. After the break, let's look at a female, Bev, who was born on the 13th of the 12th, 1947. 101.9 megahertz of power. It's 2 minutes to 10 o'clock. Good morning. This is In Your Element. I'm Nikki Seberini, and we have the lovely Bev Malun, self-esteem engineer, in the studio, taking your calls and your SMSs. It is a really very special time. So keep listening, send through those SMSs, and call through as well. Bev, I think that Jeffrey's wife said again, kol hakavod. Again, thank you so much. Very helpful.
Pleasure, Jeffrey's
wonderful
wife.
Okay, so let's look at at the female, born on the 13th of the 12th, 1947.
Okay, let's look at her. What shall we look for?
Is there, I don't know. There are no specifics
no.
in this.
Who's next?
So many things just going so smoothly.
It's a question of where to start. All right, Mrs. Specific. So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have, yet again, a person who has her own story, her own script, her yes. own everything. Doesn't want to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to create a following, wants to change the world, wants to lead the world mm-hmm. into a better time, that's for sure. Loves things to be quite perfect, analytical, forensic, always trying to understand why things aren't the way they should be. Frustrated by that, I can tell you, strong opinions, deeply sensitive and philosophical person who really has unrealistic expectations and standards for the planet. Oh, how's that working for you?
Mm.
I mean, I'm exhausted. So all I can say is this. You're coming out of World War II and you get born, right? You're born into a decade that is reeling, that is just sitting there going, you can't be, how did that happen? How did anyone let that happen? How did that happen? Right today, I mean, I don't think it could happen because there's just too much at stake for people to allow things to go on for too long. Yeah, there's pictures flying around. There's this happens and the next thing it's on YouTube.
Mm.
So there's almost nothing that's true. Secret that can be kept hidden today. Wasn't the case just a short 60 years ago. Growing up in the 50s when the world is just trying to get back on its emotional feet and trying to make sense of this thing. Very, very challenging decade. The 60s, you have all the teenagers and young people coming into their 20s who are born during that time with parents who are also still reeling. And then the 70s are just, you know what, there's too much of this. Let's just chill out now. Can't stand this tension and this pressure and this. And that whole 70s generation just redefined where we were headed because they just said no more rules, no more of this giant pressure to just survive and be perfect. We're so sick of that. We didn't live through the war. We weren't there when it happened. We were infants or young toddlers or not born yet. So back off.
Mm.
And they literally said, we won't fight. We're not going to war. We want to party. We want to sing. We want to get stoned. We want to be left alone. Right. Now, you come through that story and you come through looking at the world and going, it shouldn't be like this. It should be like that. It shouldn't be like that. Can you imagine the paradox, the challenge? Every year, the 80s trying to find some kind of hairstyle, I don't know, but we're still trying to recover from that, aren't we? So every decade has had its issues, has had its opportunities. But being raised, coming out of World War II, our, what do we call them, the 1946 to 64 births, just gone blank.
The
baby boomers, thank you. The baby booming generation, right? They had a huge amount of pressure on them to repopulate the world with purity, to bring light into the world. There was such a huge outcry from the planet. And that's why we have people who suddenly have wisdom, who suddenly have, you know, like you, Nikki, the crystal ball person. We suddenly have these people who have insight and sensitivity and wisdom and are trying to change the world and lift it up 1%. And those people are having indigo children, as they've been called, and they're having crystal children, and then there's rainbow kids around it. Like, the more you listen to the people who seem to know about this or tapping into something, it's like, oh, that makes sense, but they must be so miserable to be here. They must be so miserable looking around and go, seriously, I'm back? How did I land up here? It's a mess. What am I supposed to do? What are little me supposed to do? And yet again and again, we're seeing the most remarkable things happening from young people, the most unbelievable changes and stories of courage and overcoming and helping others and setting up things that are doing the most remarkable thing, right? Again and again, because that's what's trying to happen here, a healing. In between this dissension into insanity, between the striking and the mining and the violence and criminals and abductions and the horrific, there's all this combating light and healing and trying. Now, for this lady, I can tell you, who wants the world to be generous of spirit and who wants the world to be perfect, there must be a daily pain about how things are not. It's like the century that wasn't. Like, how did it happen that we got to this point? Because if she ran the world, it would be perfect. She has such beautiful, deep sensitivities and philosophies. She has such a specific story about how people have the right to be different and they don't have to be judged about it. And they can be in their own story, and she wants to be. And she's probably had to conform to some kind of societal pressure and standards having come out of the 1940s. And the paradox there is to live your truth. The paradox is that provided you do not bring harm to others intentionally, that you do not break laws on purpose, that you live independent of the scrutiny of others so that you can reach your potential. That would be her greatest work.
Okay.
That's her grand opus. That is her work.
Okay. So there we have it, and I'm sure that had a lot of meaning for the lady born on the 13th of the 12th, 1947. Now we have Bongi, who was born on the 8th of the 10th, 1964.
And we're sure
Bongi's
about that,
birthday so? Very soon, yes. 8th of the 10th, well, it says 08-10-64, so I presume
no,
the
8th
of
right.
October.
So Bongi is exactly, there we go. She's born right at the end of the baby booming era and a light worker of note. And I'm telling you, if you don't know what that means, Bongi, go Google light worker. Google is my friend.
Yes.
I find everything on Google. I believe there's other search engines, but I really had no idea. Why would they bother? Google is perfect. So
you're funny.
Bongi really wants
light
to.
Light worker, hey?
Yes, without question. She's a light worker. So I hope you're doing it. I mean, I hope you're doing the things that you're passionate about, because she has such great ideas about how things should be. Now, her work, because that she's a light worker, is to not annihilate people. I must just tell you that right off the bat.
You mean because she's so powerful with what she wants and where she's
and
going,
what she's
she
capable
wants to achieve.
Of, okay. And therefore, her work is to be tender with people who hurt, disappoint, or frustrate her,
okay,
and not cut them off. You know, the delete button on our cell phones has become a very powerful tool for people who don't want to speak up but want to get rid of someone. They just go delete, and then the personal phone, they go, oh, I didn't recognize your number. Oh, the passive aggression out there. It's just oh, get a voice, honestly, get a voice, learn how to communicate in a dignity that serves you, because you don't feel strong after you do stuff like that. You know, you played a weak card, you know it. So for Bongi, she so wants to help heal, cleanse, bathe, take the lead, do things, make things flow, make things pretty, reach out. She's so caring, so powerfully. Wow, so powerful. What she can do in a day, most people can't do in a week. Honestly, this is the energy of the woman. Now, where does the work come in? So the work comes in maintaining sensitivity to the needs of others, or to others at all, when they are disappointing and not following her protocols, her ideas, her direction. That's where it comes in. That's that's the work. Does she have to work to be naturally driven? No. Does she have to work to be powerful? No. She's power. She has to work to be gentle. She has to work to take that force and channel it in a way that it doesn't leave, you know, stepping stones of bodies behind her. She has such a powerful force when she's determined about something. Bongi could look back and go, somebody could say, right, we're on to the next level. That worked brilliantly. And someone could say to her, yeah, but what about all these bodies? Well, you know, clear them up. We have to move to the next level. Let's go. Right. What supports that not being the case is that she has this beautiful sensitivity and nurturing, caring capacity and this childlike enthusiasm for things that is infectious. So I'm certain she creates a lot of following a lot of the way, and her work, therefore, flexibility, her work in giving space to others to be different or to have different opinions without being emotionally or verbally annihilated. That's the work. Because she's fun and she's funny and she's curious about things and she has an inquisitive mind, which is so lovely, and she has an enthusiasm, and it is, I'm certain, infectious. So that's great. The work will be to manage that temperament, to manage that power, to keep it in check, to respond and not react.
Bongi, no pressure, but I hope you're doing great things. But no pressure.
No pressure.
No
change
pressure.
The world. No
change,
pressure.
Yes, change
is it
the
like
world.
Subliminal?
You need your help, but don't worry.
Fix it. No,
yes.
No pressure.
Don't pray. We didn't
it's
say
all on
that,
you. Who said that?
Do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Can we quickly fit one in?
Yes.
A female, the 7th of November, 1997. 7 November 1997. While Bev is busy looking at that, just a reminder, Mashi Lipska will be in after Bev. Then we have Tracy Klass with a bit of comedy, and then Nikki's Knockout, and then Dr. D. What a fab Friday. Okay, 7 November 1997, female.
Would you believe I added up that number wrong, and I looked at it and I thought, that doesn't fit, and it doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, the numbers are wrong. It's hard to get a fit with the wrong numbers. Right, let's just get that out the way. Okay, now I'm just doubting myself altogether. Okay, don't do that. Right, got it. The numbers are right. Okay, so here we go. Lady of the 7th of November, 1997. That person did not just SMS. Because that person's what?
Well, maybe...
11.
Yeah, but maybe
no,
the mother
14.
Or...
How do we do maths? 97 till now. Mm. 15. 15. Not likely. So it's mommy. Okay, mommy or daddy has SMS'd in and said, explain my child to me. Mm. All right, well, sit tight.
Okay.
Because I've said this a number of times. The children born from 96, 97 onwards, they are the new generation. And we're still sitting them in into classrooms and telling them to sit down and be quiet and take in the antiquated educational system that we were raised in, that has been around for hundreds of years. I mean, seriously, this is the 21st century and we have a whole new order of children. Why? Mm. I mean, I don't know why there's such a Limpopo textbook crisis. Seriously? Set those kids free on Google. Let them do projects and explore. Yeah. You know, they will be unbelievably inspired if they could just direct their own education with the markers. You need to do a project on this. We need to get information from you on this. Deliver. Do something. Use your brain. Put it out there. Of course, the resources aren't there. I know. And that's a tragedy. The fact that they don't have textbooks is ridiculous. I mean, there's nowhere to put that that makes any kind of sense, right? But the fact that we are so hung up on textbooks is even more ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. And I'm telling you, this lady who has sent in her daughter's birthday is sitting there nodding, yeah, she hates school. She can't stand it. I don't know how to get her to go to school. She's so frustrated by it. Of course she is, because she's so intelligent. She's so clever. She's such a natural philosopher. She's got such a strong personality. She is so capable of so many things, and now she has to go sit still for 8 hours a day. Seriously? Mm. And listen to somebody who may or may not be inspiring her, who may or may not. They have to.
And but don't they have to?
They have to have the education. They need to get the techs, done the schooling, done this, done that. And if they have something that they're passionate about, they want to study afterwards, certainly you have to get the requirements. You have to meet the grade. You have to do it. But like I've always encouraged people who with parenting, encourage your child to show up and do what they have to do so that they can have what they want. Not so that the teachers can have what they want. So that the kid can have what they want. My son used to say to me, I can't stand having to do, and he's so naturally enjoying math. He enjoys it. Mm. Gratefully. He does. He's not enjoying everything, and he doesn't have an easy time with everything, but math he enjoys. Okay, so he was like, I don't want to do these worksheets. They're boring for me. I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I'm like, okay, let me teach you a trick about school. Show up and do the stuff they want to, so that you can have what you want to. Because if you don't show up enough and you don't deliver on what you need to deliver to get the ticks so that you can advance, so that you can move forward, then they will not be able to support you moving towards the things you're passionate about. Then there will be concerns. Then there will be, well, you know, he can't really miss school. He can't go away. Where's, you know, he's not going to catch up. He's not doing well. He's not finishing the worksheets. Get it done so you can do what you want to. If you show up and you make life easy for the teachers because you just do what you have to do, there is no other educational system that is freely or easily available. This is what we have. No one has changed it. And we can see at the rate our education department changes direction, it's a little bit like trying to steer the Titanic right now. It's 4 kilometers beneath, it's heavy, and there's lots of water and pressure. It's not that easy to move. I don't think our educational system is going to be the way I believe it should be in the next, I don't know, 100 years. Mm. So that's unfortunate until some renegade light worker gets into the educational department and says, yep, no pressure, Bongi, and says, let's do it in a way these kids can change the world. That's what they're here to do. Mm. Let's give that to them. Mm. So I'm saying to this mother, I'm saying to other mothers, I'm saying to fathers, I'm saying to parents and foster parents and whoever has kids born in the last 15 years, understand this. They don't know what they're doing here. Most of them don't want to be here. Many of them, if they are lucky enough, are encouraged to find something they attach to that brings them passion in life, that they can literally look forward to on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. This is why I'm going through this week, because I'm going to get to have that. And some of them find some kind of joy in school with their friendships, generally not the education. It's not stimulating enough. Most of them find it in sport with their friendship. That's where they find some justification to go sit through the schooling environment. Are they enjoying the environment? No. So if your dear daughter is similar to that, have heart. Just encourage her. Just give her the space. Just support her in her frustration. I understand you're frustrated. I understand. But it's still something we need to get you through. I understand.
Sure, it's a tough one.
And I've spoken to a young guy who must be 24 now, who, you know, decided his life wasn't easy, his childhood wasn't easy, dropped out of school and went to go and work. Okay, good. That's fantastic. Entrepreneurial, that's great. But not with the papers behind it. Not with an entrepreneurial spirit enough to go and make something happen for himself. So he needed to get a job. So what would he get a job in? Something that does not require any qualification. Guess what? There's ceilings on that. If you're not a natural entrepreneur and you're going to go from job to job, you lose your job, you're in big trouble. What do you come to the table with? He's 24. He's going back to get him a trick because he knows he needs to put something behind him. He knows. He wants to be entrepreneurial, but he knows he needs some extra learning and studying. So what I'm saying is, whether we like it or not, our kids have to show up and get through it. And many of them will want to go on and study further. And many of them will need qualifications to do the things they're passionate about. Those are stepping stones to getting their potential fulfilled. We need to be encouraging and supportive, not condemning and frustrated. Understand their perspective. Imagine if you came down. I'll end with this. I know we're over. Sorry. Imagine if you came down. And imagine if I'm right. Let's just say for a moment I'm right. And these kids have come down, and they've come down with wisdom. They've come down with innate sensibilities about certain things and a huge amount of naivety that we do need to educate them about. But they've come down with this understanding of how things should be. And then you put them in the simplistic, imagine their pain. Imagine their frustration and conflict.
Disappointment,
we haven't changed the world to welcome them. We haven't done enough to say, let's pave the way for you to bring that unbelievable potential and realize it sooner. So we need to be patient and encouraging. Get our insecurities and frustrations out the way. That these kids are struggling with school, it's not just you, mommy of this daughter. It is so many. Look left or look right. Ask how many kids love school today. Do they want it? They want what comes from having been at school. Do they want the results? Yes. Are they enjoying the process? The majority, sadly, no.
Just to end off, as you said, show up, do what they want you to do so that you can do what you want to do.
Correct.
Bev, thank you. I just want to, Bongi came back to us and said, wow, I'll respond. Don't blame. I'm half Zulu, half Jewish. Bongi Chabalala, Bongo, Tabs, it's gone small again. What does that say? Chabalotsky, read that, because my whole thing, there, it's, has it expanded? Bongo Lovitsa Chabalotsky. thanks, Bongi. Thanks for the response. And as we said, no pressure, but do great things. Bev, thank you so much. And I'm sure great meaning for many, many people listening.
I hope so.
Because it's not just the people that you are profiling. It's all of us, because we all have a little bit of that we can learn from and gain from. So thank you.
Thank you.
Until next week.
Thank you.